after a truly miracle-filled trip west, and I mean that. I am humbled to be back in this chair God allows me to occupy, seeking truth, exposure, and accountability. Uncensored, unafraid, and unstoppable, May 6, 2022. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu. Happy Friday, everyone. It is good to be back. As a lot of you might know, I was in Idaho this week. I was there to support Janice McGeehan's campaign to topple this petty tyrant, Tiny Brad Little, and bring real conservative leadership back to Boise. And it was fun, not just because rallies are fun. It was great because we got to see a miracle like I have never in my life ever witnessed, unfold right in front of our eyes. On this program, we've very closely followed the story of baby Cyrus. For those of you that don't know this story, Cyrus is a young boy, not even a year old, whose family took him into the hospital due to his struggles to eat solid food. They took him to the hospital for care. They took him there for help. But that's not at all what they got. Instead of caring for baby Cyrus, hospital staff decided instead to attack the family. They got CPS involved. They got the cops involved. I watched body cam footage while we were there. It was unbelievable. Baby Cyrus's mother and aunt were arrested, manhandled by stormtrooper cops. And then the hospital coordinated with CPS, with Child Protective Services, to try to kidnap baby Cyrus. Baby Cyrus quite possibly would have never been seen again. That happens a lot in this country. But that didn't happen because God allowed this platform to be activated. And with your help, we stood up to these fanatics, to these freaks, to these criminals in the hospital system. And on Wednesday, we got the news that CPS was dropping its investigation. We were there at the house interviewing baby Cyrus's grandfather. And the news came right in front of our eyes. Not only that, but then baby Cyrus and his family were at the rally on Wednesday. It was a miracle that we got to watch unfold right in front of our eyes. I'm still getting chills thinking about it. But I don't think the miracles are done. If we look around us, they're happening all over. Our country, yes, it's in trouble, but people are stepping up in response. We have Republicans all over the country who are finally refusing to let pedophiles and Antifa tell them what's right and what's wrong. 5 years ago, Republicans would have never been brave enough to pass the Florida sex ed bill after Disney criticized it. 5 years ago, Republicans would have never had the guts to just go ban CRT or ban the sick child mutilations that fake doctors are doing in the name of transgenderism. But now it's happening. And I really believe that even bigger miracles are afoot. Who would have believed a year ago that we would be here doing this? We have a real family here actually saving lives. Saving people from killer death protocols in the hospitals, returning babies, multiple babies, to their rightful parents. We are doing that. All glory to God. But you know the biggest miracle of all that happened this week. For 50 years, this country has lived under the taint of constitutionally mandated abortion. Roe v. Wade is, without a doubt, the most evil decision ever issued by the high court. Worse than Dred Scott. Worse than Obergefell. Thanks to Roe v. Wade, more than 50 million unborn babies were legally massacred in this country over the past half century. Preborn, real lives taken. For 50 years, conservatives fought to overturn that, but we were betrayed again and again. Judges who we were told were slam dunks to repeal it have always failed to do so. Lawmakers who ran on pro-life platforms stopped caring the moment they took office. But now, thanks to President Trump's 3 Supreme Court picks, that's about to change. We have the draft opinion before us. The court is about to remove the taint of Roe forever. For decades, this was just something that we dreamed of. And now that miracle is about to happen. and even more miracles may follow. We may actually get to experience what it's like to have a brave Supreme Court that doesn't defer to the fake precedents of 50 years ago, invented by justices who thought that they were gods and didn't care about the Constitution. It's a hard time for America, but a great time to be a God-fearing conservative. Everywhere, we're finding our courage. We have great candidates, and we know with absolute certainty that God and the truth are on our side. Nothing can stand against us.
Let's go, let's go. Truth, exposure, and accountability, uncensored, unafraid, and unstoppable. Let's do it.
Someone who's going to make this a state that is a beacon of freedom. They lied to you about this being a red state. That's what complacency is all about. The entire country is watching Idaho. And we're going to win and take America back. We have to do it one state at a time, one governor at a time, and it starts with Governor Janice McGeehan.
In my Idaho, we don't tell elders, pastors, or priests to close their doors. We put God at the center of our lives. In my Idaho, we don't follow the CDC over a cliff.
It matters who we elect. It matters who we put in charge of the party. And I'm here because Idaho deserves a rock solid, brave, take no prisoners conservative for governor.
I'm sitting with Lieutenant Governor Janice McGeehan. Thank you so much for being here. We're in Idaho. It's a pleasure to be here. Big rally upcoming. Mm-hmm. You're gonna win this race absolutely hands down because of what I'm talking about. This state has been sold out and misled by a phony who's into himself.
Yep, and that's our job. We are gonna win. We're gonna save Idaho. And there's a lot of people from Idaho and from around the state, including yourself, that are coming to help us save our state because our leadership, well, it's not leadership, it's a lack of leadership that has caved in to the radical left and is failing our children, failing our citizens, failing our families, and failing our businesses, and I'm tired of it. That's why I'm running for governor.
But it really truly is great to be here. But you know what, you gotta ask yourself, why? Why am I here? All of you here in Idaho voted for Donald Trump by 30 points in 2020. You believed in the America First agenda, and God bless you for that. Your legislature is 80% Republican. And God bless you for that too. Because you haven't let the locusts from California ruin this place completely yet. So again, why am I here? Why would I be helping a Republican like Janice McGeehan in a Republican state instead of being home in Minnesota?
We're gonna save Idaho, and there's a lot of people from Idaho and from around the state, including yourself, that are coming to help us save our state because our leadership, well, it's not leadership, it's a lack of leadership that has caved in to the radical left and is failing our children, failing our citizens, failing our families, and failing our businesses, and I'm tired of it. That's why I'm running for governor.
How many businesses only survived because families reached into their pockets and into their 401ks and their IRAs and their savings and depleted everything that they had ever worked for to try to keep their heads above water while Brad Little gallivanted around the country with his maskless elitist parties?
We're going to have a government that is responsive to the people of Idaho and not to the special interests and the crony corruption that's ruling our state today.
And it's so refreshing to hear somebody talk like that with passion and fire, because you realize what's at stake here. I mean, our children are literally under attack. Mm-hmm. From schools to masks and lockdowns, you took action.
Mr. Little has voted in the past as a state senator. He was the tie-breaking vote to provide funding to Planned Parenthood. So this is no surprise. This is the governor that we have in Idaho, and this Mr. Little does not match the conservative values of Ruby Red Idaho and the people of Idaho. Stu, the people of Idaho need to know that life is on the ballot on May 17th. That is what is at stake.
We need to fight for this state, and most importantly, for our kids. You said it perfectly. Life is on the ballot May 17th. That's
right.
What's at stake. And I'm glad that you brought up your faith, because that's one of the things that brought me, drew me to you. That's one of the things that brought me here, is I'm supporting you because you rest in that. And I think that that's a realization that you've had, is what we're really dealing with here is so much bigger than just Brad Little.
God calls us to pick up the sword and fight, and Christ will reign in the state of Idaho.
She told you about how CPS, the trafficking operation who tried to steal baby Cyrus, has dropped their case. That is because of all of you and because of the pressure that you put on. And I am proud to introduce to you right now, baby Cyrus is here to join us and say hello to all of you. Give him a round of applause. This is the miracles that you do. There is not a doubt in my mind that God has put his hands on this platform and this family that is growing exponentially all over the world right here in Idaho. He has chosen this platform for a very specific purpose, and I cannot do it without every single one of you. I am so proud to be the people's bullhorn. Please continue to pray for me and for this platform and for the kids in this country and for the military that's being purged. God bless you all, God bless Idaho, and God bless America. Good night.
James Roguski is an author and activist, and he believes that the World Health Organization is planning to create a permanent COVID-19 state of emergency as a mechanism for overthrowing the sovereignty of the world's nations and ushering in a single world government. James Roguski joins us now. This is essentially the New World Order. Is that right?
Not to be hyperbolic, I actually think I found the founding document of the Great Reset. To dive right into the root of it, I just read a document that is published on the World Health Organization's website, and it has one line in it, and it's all on my site. We'll point people towards it later. They're trying to put forth amendments to the International Health Regulations, which is a body of work that's existing. It's been in existence for decades, and it has been proposed by the United States delegation to amend it. And very specifically in Article 12, Section 2, Line 6, they literally cross out a very important line, which takes away limitations on UHO. And so that double negative of removing limitations takes off the shackles and the straitjacket that the WHO is currently withheld by, and it gives them, or the Director General, it would essentially turn him into the dictator general of the World Health Organization, with the ability to declare an emergency state. They don't refer to it as a pandemic or an emergency. They actually refer to it legally as a public health emergency of international concern, P-H-E-I-C, fake. I'm not making that up. That's what it is. They also want to be able to give their regional directors the ability to do the same thing on a regional basis. They have six regions around the world, and that's a public health emergency of regional concern, or a FERC. They literally want to be able to FERC the world region by region. And when you go back to Roman times, the basic fundamental definition of a dictator is the term given to a person who was put in absolute control, had absolute power during an emergency. You literally cannot have dictatorship without emergency powers. That's the definition of the word. And they want to be able to give that power in an unlimited fashion to the Secretary General, who's going to be reelected this time around, unopposed. He's going to be coronated, and they want to give him these powers to have complete control to declare emergencies anytime he wants for any reason, and there's no way to shut it off.
Nobody likes dictatorships. I mean, obviously, dictatorships, of course, yes. But in mass, we don't appreciate one person or entity telling us what it is that we can do and how we are to live our lives. It never works. They typically fall or are removed or overthrown, of course, because people want their God-given inherent individual liberties and freedom. So now we're not only about to give just one nation over to the rule of these six individuals, but the entire world?
There's 194 member nations in the World Health Organization. What happened, the slight history of this is in the international health regulations, there is a stipulation that if amendments are being submitted, they have to be done 4 months in advance to the meeting, which is May 22nd to 28th. So they submitted them just before the deadline in January 18th. And I think their idea was that this was just going to be buried. Time would pass. It would pop up in the middle of the assembly, which, you know, I'm sure you were going to be live streaming, right? Everybody's going to be paying attention to this.
Right. Yeah.
And like Nancy Pelosi said with, I believe, the Obamacare bill, you know, just pass it. You could read it later.
Right? Yes.
And you know, there's a 6 month, it's a really interesting dynamic that they have with this. There's a 6 month period where every nation will have the right of rejection. It's kind of like if you buy something online, you got, you know, time to return it, or you go on vacation to the Caribbean and you get talked into buying a timeshare and you got a 3 day right of refusal. Every nation has the ability to, even after it's been approved by the assembly, to just reject it. But they were hoping to just keep it buried. And then, you know, Merry Christmas, you've got the Great Reset, New World Order, worldwide dictatorship, emergencies all the time.
So what is the time threshold here? When are they hoping to get this accomplished, I guess is what I'm asking.
The vote, the assembly happens between the 22nd and the 28th of May. So, you know, two and a half weeks is when the assembly will start. They're going to vote somewhere, you know, in there. They have it on their agenda. They haven't chosen a specific time and a day. The odds are very good that they're going to approve it. You know, we're trying everything I can. Thank you so much for, you know, just helping spread the word. Step number one, you know, for all of your viewers is, by all means, you know, don't believe me, right? You know, all of the evidence, I literally have the evidence laid out. Interestingly enough, the first bit of evidence goes all the way back to 1948. When Harry Truman and the Speaker of the House and the President pro tem of the Senate on June 14th, 1948, signed the joint resolution that got us involved with the WHO. And the wording on Section 5 of that is really interesting. It literally says, you know, we're going to join, but we don't have to do anything you tell us. You can make all the recommendations you want, but we don't have to change our laws regardless. And so what people forget is this has not been signed as a treaty. And I want to caution people. I know you've had guests on. A lot of people around the world have spoken of a pandemic treaty. If you hear the word treaty, if you hear the phrase pandemic treaty, if you hear something about the WHO constitution, you know, those are all things, but that's not what this is. Those are actually very well-crafted decoys. To get, you know, there's so much news out there and so much verbiage and propaganda. Any discussion in these next couple of weeks about a pandemic treaty is designed to distract your attention from this thing that they were trying to slip through.
Who are these individuals that are going to be voting on this, and how many of them are there?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question. We didn't prepare this, but you're right at the point. Part of the hidden information has been, you know, what the actual amendments are, but we have that information. They finally got around to publishing it on April 12th. But the other hidden part, and I'm talking to people worldwide in Malaysia and Singapore and Ecuador and Europe and, you know, all over the place, it's a secret. You can't find, you know, we haven't been able to find who are, you know, it's an Abbott and Costello routine. You know, who's representing us at the WHO? And nobody knows. It's not public knowledge. They publish it after the fact, after all of the delegates and the delegations, everybody, every nation, 194 nations, each get three delegates. They get one vote. It's kind of like the Senate. You know, each country gets one vote in the Senate. Each state gets two votes. It's not based on population. So the United States, China, India, Brazil, Indonesia, you know, all the really populated states, highly populated states, they get one vote. And all the tiny little countries also get one vote, which, you know, that's just what the organization is. So if 98 countries vote in favor of this, it will be adopted.
So it's been kept a secret. A lot of people would speculate, well, that's because we don't want these people getting offed or bought off or paid off or, you know, bribed, blackmailed, any of these things happening for their own safety. You'll know afterwards. Do you think that's it? Or do you think that they're being hidden for something more cynical?
Why it's being hidden, I can't talk to the intent. I can just talk to the fact that, you know, we don't know who is going to be purporting to represent us. Now, there's a good guess because we do have information about who went, you know, previous years. They had a special session in November. They had an executive board meeting in January. And, you know, after the fact, all of that information is readily available. And it's generally the same cast of characters.
Who are they? Who is this cast of characters that historically?
Javier Becerra is likely to be the chief delegate. Lois Pace, it's a woman. She was the delegate to both of these events. And they also have a list of 30 people in the delegation, half of which were alternate delegates, half of which were advisors, okay? And that's a motley cast of characters right there. I actually went on the HHS website. I got all of these people's emails, legitimately, not doxing, just went to their websites, you know, government contact information to their office websites. I sent the people who went the last time an email, and I said, hey, you know, are you guys going again this time? You know, who's going? Where do I find that information? I sent like 50 emails out three times and I got one response. Somebody didn't get the memo to, you know, not respond to the public. And this was a person who went, you know, one of the previous ones, and her response was, you know, I don't know. You know, I don't even know if they picked him yet. And it's like, you know, I'm pretty sure they got travel plans and, you know, hotel accommodations and, you know, unless they're all going over on Bill Gates's plane and staying, you know, at Klaus Schwab's retreat, it's a mystery. Nobody knows. And so, at the very least, the fact that this is all being hidden and is trying to be, you know, snuck under the radar. I got lucky. I just read a document that is public and I understood what it meant. And since then, I've met with all kinds of lawyers. We've, you know, delved into the gory, ugly details are just horrific. I mean, we had a 4-hour webinar last week with a bunch of lawyers and we were just all trying to not vomit because it's just, it's absolutely evil. There's nothing in these amendments to existing regulations about, you know, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, you know, early treatments, essential medicines, nutrition, alternative care, not a word about anything that you would think of is health in these international health regulations. Yeah. It's just a
I don't believe in luck. I mean, God is the one that wanted you to see these things
I'll give you my testimony, Stu. It's a true story. I've had this type of experience many times in my life, and I've just learned to listen to it. Back in January, I'm working in my yard. I got a little food forest going because, you know, you need that kind of thing these days.
Yeah, you
and
do.
I was feeling pretty good, and I just put a prayer out to the universe. I said, look, you know, I'm ready for something new. Just tell me what it is you want me to do, and I'll do it. A couple weeks later, I get an email from my website hosting company. I've had websites for, you know, a dozen years. I've had dozens of websites and I had six websites totally dedicated to COVID-related things. And I get an email, everything's gone. You know, I must have been over the target. They didn't give me any reason. It's just absolutely wiped out, you know, a decade's worth of work. And I go, oh, I guess I'm being reassigned. I wonder what's coming. And so, you know, when you learn, or I won't put it on anybody else. I'll put it on myself. You know, I feel that I learned, I was blessed to be guided to being able to read something that I could understand and realize that it's just global treason. It's just go represent your company, your country, company, it is a corporation, but go represent your country and sign over at least, you know, a good chunk of your nation's sovereignty. And I had to speak up. And so that's what I'm doing. And thanks for the audience.
What is it that you're hoping will not happen? What are they trying to do? End goal with this vote and this proclamation of power, essentially, for these governments? And how many of them do you think will reject it with their buyer's remorse after they see the ins and outs of this contract?
You know, I know what my hopes are. I can't project into the future. I wish I was Nostradamus. But what I do know is that this is the most pure red pill wake-up call that I've ever seen. And part of the reason for that is they didn't propagandize this. You haven't heard, you know, $1 billion worth of marketing. These international health regulations are so horrible and we've got to change them and fix them. They were trying to sneak it in, so they didn't do the propaganda. So when people actually take a look at this, they're horrified. I won't drop a name, but I got a phone call out of the blue, and the person says, hi, this is so-and-so. And I go, oh, you mean former congressperson so-and-so? And so we had a 3-hour conversation, and the former congressman said, you know, tell me everything. I got to know what's going on. And here's a part that we haven't even talked about, Stu. One of the things that I found was that in the Federal Register, you know, on page like 6,970, the CDC changed the definition of how the regulations allow the Secretary of Health and Human Services to declare a public health emergency. They changed the definition. There's 5 different ways that, you know, justify declaring a public health emergency here in the United States. 2 of them were, you know, if the WHO does it, then, you know, it's justification for us to have an emergency too. But the 5th one is the most egregious piece of crap I've ever seen. If the dictator general of the World Hypnosis Organization just makes a suggestion, we've got an emergency. He could say, oh, you ought to wear masks. And there's regulatory cover to justify that. They also changed the definition of non-invasive testing. And it's a bunch of legalese gobbledygook, but the net result is the current international health regulations say that you're not allowed to stick something up somebody's nose unless they, you know, they ask you to. The US regulations were changed so that that became an okay thing. And the date that it was changed on made this former congressional representative scream so loud, I'm surprised you didn't hear it. You want to take a guess what day they changed it?
Hit me with it.
Yeah, January 19th, 2017. The last full day of the Obama administration, they changed the definition of a public health emergency, and they made it okay to stick something up your nose. Now, I'm not saying that's, you know, they did that for any nefarious reasons. I'm just saying that's when they did it. And a half a day later, Trump was inaugurated.
Occam's razor, the most logical assumption is probably the correct one. Where can people find all of this information, James? I know that people are going to want to go there right now.
I've got a Substack. It's jamesroguski.substack.com. Nobody can spell Roguski, R-O-G-U-S-K-I. So jamesroguski.substack.com. But they've made it easy. A newfound friend of mine, Rima Labo, we were talking. And she said, you know, you're going to try to take our sovereignty. And she said, don't you dare, right? That's her trademark. And so it triggered an idea. So I have don'tyoudare.info will bring you right into the specific article. And I spent a whopping $8.85 the other day. And I got a domain, stopthewho.com. that'll bring you right into an activist toolbox with videos and articles and everything. Stop the WHO, stop the WHO.com, or don'tyoudare.info, or Stu, you're going to think I'm crazy, but trust me, I've done this for years. Everybody can call me. My phone number is 310-619-3055.
Yeah.
Call me. This is that important, Stu.
Okay. I mean, we've done some crazy stuff live on air. I guess this is a first for me, though, giving out phone numbers.
In all seriousness, my phone's ringing off. I have met the most wonderful patriotic Americans, but I've gotten calls from Uganda and Malaysia and everywhere else. You know, go to the website, inform yourself, you know, get the information. 310-619-3055. That's how I got a call from, you know, a former congressperson and people such as yourself. I'm dedicated to this.
All right.
If we don't, all we have to do is raise people's awareness. If I say TPP to you, does that ring a bell? TPP, Tom, Peter, Paul. 6 years ago, we beat back the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which was a trade agreement that was giving sovereignty over to corporations, all of the Pacific Rim countries. They wouldn't let anybody see what that was. And people power basically said, look, you're not going to do this. You know, we see what you're doing. It's not
going to
happen.
We see a ton of power in the people, and we're watching miracles happen by the grace of God right before our eyes. All glory to him. James Roguski, thank you so much. We really appreciate you being here. StopTheWHO.com. Go to StopTheWHO.com right now. Only we, banding together, can stop this from happening. So go get the info. Information is knowledge. Knowledge is power. More of the power continues on the Stu Peters Show straight ahead in about 60 seconds. Go nowhere.
Did you know income tax is criminal? A blank in the Communist Manifesto. Why does the government officially say there is no law requiring 99% of Americans to file and pay income tax? Freedom Law School knows the truth. Check it out for yourself at livefreenow.org and start your journey to freedom from IRS deception, robbery, and slavery. Go to livefreenow.org today or call 813-444-4800. Livefreenow.org today. Day.
The past 2 years have been really bad for a lot of Americans. Millions of people lost their jobs, lost their entire businesses. Millions of people lost their health. Millions of people lost their loved ones. I just want you to know that I wouldn't be here fighting every day if I didn't believe that we will be victorious and absolutely crush these wicked people and destroy the enemy. But for a lot of people, it does feel like we're losing our country. We're watching it slip away right in front of us. The past 2 years have been really good for some people, big pharma specifically. They've made tens of billions of dollars. They've basically turned the entire federal government into their accomplices as the enforcement arm, passing laws that force people to buy their potentially deadly products. But Dr. Jane Ruby has some much needed good news. She says that Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla has violated a law, one that has already been used to take down pharmaceutical companies in the past. According to Jane, he did it all in public. Companies prosecuted for breaking this law are often forced to give up 10% of their earnings as a fine. For Pfizer, that figure would be in the tens of billions. So what is this law in question? For that, we go to Dr. Jane Ruby, who's here. I got to know, what is this law?
Yeah, Stu, it's very well known in pharmaceutical industry circles. It's called off-label promoting. And I need to separate out two things. Off-label use, meaning using a drug for something other than what it was approved for or authorized for, is not illegal. That's in the purview of doctors and nurse practitioners to prescribe for something different.
They do it all the time.
All the time. It's standard practice. What is illegal is promoting it. It's illegal for any company to suggest, prescribe, to induce, to coerce, to recommend. And here you have Albert Bourla, the CEO of Pfizer, just a few days ago, coming out and telling Bloomberg, hey, if Paxlovid, which is their double antiviral poison pill. If Paxlovid doesn't work when someone starts getting flu symptoms, then they should just do another round of it, you know, like antibiotics. In fact, his quote was, in cases where virus levels do rebound, whatever that means, Bourla said, quote, then you give a second course like you do with antibiotics, and that's it. Stu, that's off-label promotion. He is the company. He is the business. And you cannot do that. The FDA apparently, reportedly, in an article, rebuked. That was the word that that actually I think Bloomberg used, rebuked it. They should be hauling them in. The DOJ should be conducting a full-scale investigation. And yes, they should be fined in the billions of dollars because he's telling patients, prospective people out there, look, Paxlovid is supposed to be a 5-day only course, and you're supposed to take it within the first 3 days of experiencing any kind of flu symptoms, supposedly diagnosed with a fake PCR. But no, there's nothing in the authorization. By the way, it is an emergency use authorization, which doesn't make sense. But there's nothing in that authorization that indicates that you should just throw out another round if the first one doesn't work.
Yeah, this guy called us criminals, didn't he? Remember that? He called us criminals. He called everybody who was hesitant to get this death serum a criminal, people who were talking about it and pointing out the facts and the data that surround this thing. We were criminals for doing that. This guy's a criminal. And you called for an investigation. Sure, I agree. But, you know, as a former investigator, even, I hate the word investigation right now, because these are just nothing burger rabbit holes that we go down and then nothing ever happens. That's what people are the most frustrated about. This guy openly admitted it. So if I'm caught on tape going into Nordstrom and stealing a sport coat, I'm going to be immediately arrested, right? I mean, as soon as I walk out of the store, the cops are going to come. They're going to grab me if I'm caught. They're going to bring me to jail. They're going to arrest me, detain me on probable cause for felony theft. And then I'm going to be tried. And then I'm going to face sentencing if I'm convicted of the crime. So what's the difference here? Why is the federal marshals not walking in and grabbing Albert Bourla and walking him out and holding him, detaining him on probable cause for committing this crime pending his prosecution? Why? I mean,
if 100,000 people, just 100,000 people send letters, call the DOJ and ask why they're not prosecuting this obvious, blatant, public off-label promotion. You know, I just think if something like that happened, they would have to respond in some form or fashion. But in the Dr. Jane Ruby show coming up right after your show today, I'm going to go into depth on this. I'm also going to talk about the False Claim Act, how these Medicare and Medicaid, the country is being built. This $32 million that Albert Bourla, by the way, just reported to CNBC in 12 months. I worked for two companies in 20 years that made $1 billion a year for a few years. That was unheard of. This company made $32 billion just on the vaccine in the last 12 months.
$32 billion with a B?
In 12 months, Stu.
So when people are calling, no problem to get 100,000 people to call. We've done it before. We've saved babies, returned babies to their parents. We've saved lives. We've gotten people out of hospitals, off of remdesivir, off of ventilators, because this family's active. So arm these people. When they call the DOJ, what are they to say specifically happened here? And what are they to request?
This is a public declaration, a commission publicly of off-label marketing. It violates the 31 USC code, in the United States federal code for False Claims Act. Why? Because the government is the largest customer of any pharmaceutical company. And this is literally bilking our tax. It's your money. So speak up for it. And I would also barrage the do nothing Congress, because even though people say to me, Dr. Jane, they're not going to do anything, we all complain. You're not doing anything. I'm doing the complaining and the voice and edifying you. You guys out there have to make the calls, send the emails, demand of your congressional members, get on the DOJ. The DOJ is responsible for these investigations. They're responsible for imposing the fines, right? Yeah. So I think if people understand this, and this is what the show today is about. It's about educating you around these legal violations, what they mean, what you can do about it.
That show coming up immediately following this one, the Stu Peters Network on Rumble, or you can always find it at stupeters.com. Dr. Jane, thank you so much. You know, a lot of these people in Congress, sure, they're too busy like having blow parties and orgies and stuff like that to really pay attention to your phone calls. You never know if they're actually listening to your voicemails, probably likely not. Your emails are probably going ignored, but they cannot ignore official notice from we the people. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take the information that Dr. Jane Ruby just gave to us, and I'm going to put together a jot form notice This notice will then be shared in my Telegram, on Gab, on Getter, on Truth, on Rumble. I'll put the link everywhere for you to find it. And it's super simple. Takes you like 30 seconds to click on the link and sign it and serve it. They cannot ignore official notices from We the People. That's going to happen. Follow that. I'll let you know when it's out. More of the Stu Peters Show continues in 60 seconds. Go nowhere.
Uncle Sam says you're a terrorist if you know vaccines are dangerous, but the real Osama bin boosted are getting sick, and Fauci can't hide it. One man has had enough of the madness. There's a sheriff coming after the shot shills.
I'm going after them individually. Every single one of them, individually. I'm coming after you. Every one of them, I am.
Christopher Key has founded Vaccine Police, and he will arrest tyranny.
Then they can be hung up. And they can be executed. So this stops. It stops here, guys. Let's go in.
Vaccine mandates for kids. No. Mask mandates for little Mikey. Heck no. School boards have been put on notice.
No man is evil. And I know man is all about money and power.
It's open season on treason. Vaccine police are on patrol. Old Bill Clutchill, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when vaccine police come for you? Support the resistance. Go to vaccinepolice.com. Forget the woo flu. Back the blue. Vaccinepolice.com. You asked for it, so we delivered. The Dr. Jane Ruby Show, exclusively for premium users on redvoicemedia.com. Propaganda busting, groundbreaking interviews, and real medical truth. The Dr. Jane Ruby Show for premium users at redvoicemedia.com.
Dr. Michael McDowell has a doctorate in theology, and he's an eschatologist. What does that mean exactly? That means that he studies the end of the world, what the Bible says about it, what the signs are that the end might be near, and whether, in fact, we can expect to see the end of the world in our lifetimes. A lot of questions about that lately. He's preached and lectured about all of this across the United States, Canada, and the Caribbean. He's also ministered in Africa and on Mount Carmel in Israel, the mountain overlooking the plain of Tel Megiddo. You know Tel Megiddo by its Greek name, Armageddon, the prophesied location of the great battle at the end of time. Dr. McDowell is also the author of 5 books. You can find him on Amazon or his website. More recently, he's worked with Dr. Jane Ruby, Peter McCullough, Dolores Cahill, Paul Alexander, and many other doctors, helping to expose the lies about COVID-19 and the vaccine. There are plenty of them to research. But Dr. McDowell believes that the lies about COVID are more than just run-of-the-mill wickedness. He thinks that it foretells something much greater. Dr. McDowell believes, based on biblical, scientific, and geopolitical evidence, that the end of the world is near and the second coming of Christ is at hand. These are all things that we would love to hear more about. To that end, Dr. McDowell joins us now. Thank you, sir, for being here. We appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Yes, Stu, it's a joy to be on your program. I want to let you know that I think that it has been clearly established that you and I are not the conspiracy theorists. We are the conspiracy realists. And the international health regulators and the other and the powers that be and Big Pharma, they are really the conspiracy theorists. They've been lying to us. And by the grace of God, we have been able to unravel the misinformation. I want you to know, too, that I'm in Trinidad and Tobago, the southernmost islands of the Caribbean, just under the coast of South America, next to Venezuela. And I want you to know that you have a very avid following in Trinidad and Tobago and in the Caribbean. Your podcast is considered one of the most powerful and popular in the USA and globally. So it's a joy to be on with you this morning.
Only by the grace of God. So is the end coming? I mean, you have scientific, geopolitical evidence and biblical evidence, most importantly, to support that theory. Are we going to see the end times in your prediction?
I believe that we are closer than we have ever been. I believe that what we are seeing happening in the world today is the final sign. In fact, one of my books is called The Service Final Sign. It's a novel, the first of a trilogy, and it actually delineates the fact that what we see happening in the world today is exactly what happened in the world in the days of Noah. The Bible says, as in Matthew 24:37, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So the attempts in the antediluvian earth, and I don't have time to go into all the details, the attempts in the antediluvian earth to distort the human genome, to destroy the imago Dei, to change the genetic code of mankind, is happening again right at this very hour. exactly what is going on. Bill Gates wants to vaccinate 7.5 billion people with a genetic therapeutic vaccine that will alter their human genome. And that's exactly what happened in the antediluvian Earth, using different mechanisms. But it signals that this is the final sign. And this is the connecting area for me. This is what connected my eschatological research with the scientific facts that are happening today. I'm particularly strong in genetics, and I have seen this trend emerge with such power. They can do almost anything with genetics, too. They recombinant DNA technology, gene splicing. They're mixing species at the molecular level. They actually are something called ethnically specific viruses or ethnically specific bioweapons. Bioweaponry is real. It's happening. And the SARS-CoV-2 virus is a bioweapon, and the vaccine is a bioweapon as well. It's a left-right combination that has sent the world reeling. And half of the world's population, 4 billion people, have been vaccinated with gene therapeutic vaccines. Actually, there's much more than that.
I agree with everything that you're saying so far. I mean, the bioweapon virus, that, by the way, where is that thing? Has anybody ever been able to isolate that thing? The most dangerous thing in the world that locked everybody down, forced everybody to an injection, but nobody can seem to find it at all.
Wow.
And mixing the different species. I mean, we've seen a German hedgehog and a bat from Kenya and a bat from China and some sort of a pangolin. I mean, they're in the lab putting all these things into a petri dish and then into a syringe and freezing it with cryo and marketing it and jabbing the whole world with it. It's obvious what's happening here. My question is, though, you mentioned Bill Gates, and we know that there are some very specific key players behind this, the ones that we know of. But there are so many people involved with rolling this out. Is it really possible that there's that much evil in this world, that there are that many people willing to participate in this diabolical plan?
Well, there is that much evil. However, the perpetrating group is a small percentage of world population. They have control of the finances. We're talking about Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum. We're talking about his advisor, Dr. Yuval Noah Harari, a brilliant scientist, but who is really leaning on the wrong side and saying some strange things. Two statements that he has made really rocked me. And let me just quickly read them to you. Number one, he says that the COVID-19 vaccines have become a turning point in history because it has enabled us to do under-the-skin surveillance. And by this, he means that the vaccines are putting biosensors and biotransmitters into us, so that they can study human beings from under the skin. And the second thing he says, that human beings are hackable. And this is related to the vaccine. If this is related to the vaccine, it means that the vaccine is much more than something to treat a virus. It's not only changing a human genome, it's also an agent of a massive agenda called transhumanism. The conspiracy is global. It involves a banking cartel, a global elite, who are in league with the pharmaceutical companies, government, and some of the governments of the world are in sync with them, and they are trying to take us lockstep into a transhumanistic agenda.
How can he say this stuff out loud and everybody just ignores it? I mean, these are the words of the criminal responsible for rolling these out.
Well, Shu, you and I both know. I know that you have been the subject of massive censorship. I myself, I have to be very careful in my own country how I operate and how I move, because there is massive censorship going on. The international media are not are peddling misinformation, and most people trust the international media. So we are fighting an information battle to get the truth out. And I want to say something. I belong to a group called TT Response, a group of pastors in Trinidad who lifted their voices against governmental mandates and the COVID-19 vaccine. And we want you to know that you, Stu, are doing a great job, and men like yourself and me, we are doing something that is reaching the world. Even though we may be in the minority, we are reaching the world, and we are changing the COVID-19 mandate has been brought to its knees because of men like you, Stu. And I want to thank you for that. Let's keep doing what we are doing, just dispensing truth. If we keep dispensing truth, we will. Somebody said truth is like a lion. If you let it go, you don't have to defend it. If you let it go, it's going to defend itself. And that's exactly what's happening.
That's right. And I will tell you, the numbers speak for themselves. People are thirsty. They are desperate for truth and information. They recognize that we're in an information war. The numbers for this program, our executive producer has put together, we're smashing the numbers of people at major networks who have multi-million dollar budgets and no censorship that are funded by the likes of Pfizer and Vanguard and BlackRock. And we're smashing it. To God be the glory. And I can't imagine doing anything else in times like this. Dr. McDowell, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it. God bless you.
God bless you. Thanks a lot, Stu.
All right. Well, I agree with Dr. McDowell. I mean, just take a look around. Look at the rate with which everything is happening. The trajectory that we are on suggests that this type of a scenario is coming a lot faster than we might have thought. Probably not what you were thinking about when you were playing baseball as a kid or on the playground at school. I get it. But we need to prepare, and we need to have guns, and we need to have ammo. If you're going to be in my foxhole, you're going to need those things. America's most trusted online platform for guns and ammo and prepping information and hunting information is GunsAmerica.com. Great sponsor here on the program. A wealth of information there. It's free to sign up. Go to GunsAmerica.com and become a member right now. Along with that membership, you're guaranteed that every transaction for guns within 50 miles of you is absolutely free. Whether you're a dealer or a private party looking to make purchases or sell your guns, go to GunsAmerica.com right now, GunsAmerica.com, Hunt 365, ways to prep, guns, ammunition, the perfect gun for you awaits. Go to GunsAmerica.com again right now, GunsAmerica.com. National File senior reporter Patrick Howley says that he has an exclusive piece of breaking news, but it's so secret that he can't tell anybody until he comes on the air. In fact, he wouldn't even tell us. So I have no idea what he's about to say. It's probably a bad habit to go into a segment with no idea about what we're getting into, but oh well, we're going to do it anyway. Patrick Howley joins us now. I'm really rolling the dice here, brother.
Yes, Stu, well, you've rolled it. You've rolled it and you found victory. You found victory because today, and I'm much like the Riddler. I'm the peaceful Riddler, though. Today, on nationalfile.com, I have released the documents from inside the University of Pennsylvania showing the massive amounts of money for students from the People's Republic of China that was being used, all of the Chinese money that was going to the general funds of the University of Pennsylvania, home of the Penn Biden Center of Joe Biden, the think tank where Joe Biden can go back and sit on this big pile of money as soon as his presidency is over. Tony Blinken, his Secretary of State, was the managing director of this. So I've released this on nationalfile.com. And when you have the Pfizer documents and you have the document showing that the University of Pennsylvania is making a massive amount of money on the vaccines because they have these licensing contracts with Pfizer BioNTech. We're in a fight right now because Pfizer BioNTech is trying to get a new FDA authorization for boosters for 5 to 11-year-olds. We think we can stop it because we are showing the massive amount of money that Joe Biden himself is personally profiting off of this. And so just breaking news right now is actually the FDA has done a measure against Johnson & Johnson vaccine because of the risk of blood clots. And so with the release of the Pfizer documents, all this is going our way now. So nationalfile.com, you can see these Pfizer, my analysis of the Pfizer documents and also these University of Pennsylvania documents. And this could very well bring down the Biden regime to some degree. You know, I'm not going to make, you know, certainly the mainstream media is picking this up right now.
So the Biden regime is now completely exposed, profiting from all of this. Do you expect that there's a pathway for immediate arrest for somebody to be held for prosecution?
Well, you know, I certainly would like to see that. You know, I will tell you a few things. You know, the paradigm is shifting in many ways. You know, I was banned from Twitter yesterday in the sort of declining downfall period of the previous Twitter regime. I expect to go back when Elon Musk takes over. I'm going to storm Baghdad and I'm going to go and talk about Vijaya Gadde. That's her real name, Vijaya. Vijaya Gadde. All right. She's the legal policy and trust lead at Twitter. She's from India. She's the legal policy and trust lead. Isn't that such a modern term? But, you know, I will be back in on Twitter. I vow to return to Twitter and to be as offensive and insightful as possible.
Yeah, I just don't know. I mean, if you and I were caught in the same way and documentation proved this criminal activity, federal marshals would be pounding down the door. We'd be taken out in handcuffs. We'd be under arrest. These long investigations, these Trey Gowdy, Benghazi, nothing burgers that we spend millions of dollars on, and all these inquiries and congressional nonsense, the viral videos of Rand Paul going at Tony Fauci, like, who gives a damn? Tony Fauci, as soon as he admitted lying to Congress, well, he didn't even admit it. As soon as he was caught lying to Congress and then lied again to cover his lies to Congress and the Senate, he should have been taken away in custody and held. So, I mean, we need to demand that this happens and that these people are arrested, indicted, tried, and fried. I don't just say that to be hyperbolic. I mean, this is, look at how many people have died from this, Patrick. It's absolutely insane. Great reporting. Nationalfile.com. Go there right now for more from Patrick Howley. This is Breaking Stuff here on The Stu Peters Show. Appreciate you being here, Patrick. Thanks.
Hey, Jen Psaki is out at the White House, and she's a streamer now, so we're doing better than Jen Psaki. She's going to fail as a streamer.
Uh-oh, she's going to take us down. The ratings are going to plummet here for the Jen Psaki podcast.
Peacock. She's going to be on the Peacock streaming service.
It makes sense. Totally fitting. Patrick Howley, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
See ya.
Have you noticed there's something very wrong with the modern day man?
Are you a beta male?
I don't think so.
Beta!
Sperm counts are cratering.
Maybe it's ma'am.
0% by 2050. But help is on the way. Keys to Life.shop has products which are making men, men again. Banned by the NFL, PGA, and the NCAA. Too manly. Clinically proven to raise IGF-1 levels. Man up. Take off the dress. Visit KeysToLife.shop. Get your manhood back today.
Friday, we just got back. The weekend is upcoming, but don't worry, we're not going anywhere. Tomorrow, the premium, extended, exclusive content at redvoicemedia.com, stupeters.com. Don't miss that. And don't worry, you won't miss me that much because I will be back on Monday at this time. Until then, here's what's up to it. Here's what's down to it. Here's to any way you can get to it. Here's to those that don't do it, maybe dragged to it, tied to it, or forced to it because they're cucks. And here's to us who do it because we're the ones that see us to it. Remember to file low and avoid the radar. Listen, you know, one day they're going to come for the car, and when they do,